Praise the Lord. Well, what we were discussing in the review is in line with what the Lord put in my heart to talk about again today. Maybe because we can never say we have had too much of this. I preached a sermon here in 2007 or 2008, not here, when we were in the first building. You have to go to my website and see but the audience was different. The combination, the group that were coming then, we have people from the homeless shelter. And it was titled Victory Over Poverty. Victory Over Poverty. And somehow in same direction is what I'm going to talk about today. So what do you mean by victory over poverty? If you go back to that sermon, you can get to it on my website, you will see that we are talking about on this end is the extreme wealth, on this other end of the spectrum is the poverty level. In America, if you are making, let me say, 10,000 a year, and under 10,000 a year, you most likely classify as poverty level. Especially if you have children to manage. If you are just a single person, and you're making 10,000 a year, that's almost on less than 1,000. You think about that. How can I rent a one bedroom house, maybe in the ghettos, in the very low level area? You at least pay at least $400 a month, and you can hardly make it with 10,000 a year. So in the IRS, we say you are under the poverty level. They most likely will not take any tax from you. But some people are even worse than that in the world. You know that? So that's why I say there's extreme wealth and there's extreme poverty. But that sermon that said victory over poverty, the Lord brought it to us that you don't want to be on that extreme poverty. How to keep yourself away from being in that extreme poverty is what that sermon was all about. And it's wise because the scriptures that Solomon gave, most of those scriptures, is what I'm going to talk about, just reminding us again. If you have never heard about this sermon, go back and listen to it, and I'm going to more or less repeat it. And it most likely, you can never repeat a sermon. So it's going to be in the same format. What are the causes of poverty? Praise the Lord. What are the causes of poverty? So this is not prosperity. I'm not going to preach on prosperity. We already been talking about that in some of these other sermons, in the success and the things we have been talking about, but what are the causes of poverty? And how can you keep yourself away from going to that poverty line? There are two things I'm going to first distinguish right now. The terrible things can happen in the world, which we call adversity. And it can happen to anybody. That is, you can be high, you can be okay, but something can happen suddenly, and there could be, which we call adversity, that can bring people down into real poverty. Take, for example, somebody can have a lot of money, you invest it, and you lose everything. That will be adversity. Or disease, sickness, suddenly take toll of a human being, and he go from hospital to hospital, and he spend all his money with the doctors. That is adversity. Those things can happen in life that can drag men into poverty. However, there is a solution for that also. So the same solution. So keep you away from the poverty line. But there are other things that it's not just circumstances. That may be your doing, your mistakes, your choices. Those are the things we are going to talk about in today's exhortation. Open to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15. And put it on the screen for us from verse 1. Moses, when he was talking to the Hebrews, as he was laying out for them how to establish a kingdom, a government, because they are creating a nation. So he told them about this. This is one of the things God ordained for them, that when you get back to that land, he said, at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. So this is the manner of the release, verse 2. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. He said, but of a stranger, of a foreigner, you can exact it again. In verse 4, this is where I'm going. In verse 4, he said, save when there shall be no poor among you. That is, this release is telling them that you have to do this release every seven years. They have to release all their debtors. If somebody owe you money, after this, at the seventh year, when that, what they call the year of what, release, the jubilee is after seven times seven of that, but the release is every 7 years, you just cancel the debt. Look like, well, and you know that many people may abuse it, and he put that in the next few verses, that don't abuse this, because you say, well, if the 7 years is coming, I won't loan anybody any money, because I have to give it away. No, he said, don't do that, because God is going to bless you if you obey this word. But what he mentioned in verse 4 is what I'm pointing out. He said, keep doing this until there is no poor among you. That's what a save means. Save among, save when there shall be no poor person among you. But do you think any? Do you think that ever happened in Israel? It never happened. It never happened. But it is possible. That's why I said, you can keep releasing this until there is no more poor. If there is no more poor, there is no need for doing that anymore. But in verse 11, he went further in verse 11, he said, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. So you see, it's almost like, how can you say there will be a time where there will be no poor? But he also said, the poor shall never cease from the land. But what God is telling us in these two Bible verses is, it is possible not to be away from that poverty line. It is possible. And what are the causes of this thing called poverty? And that's what I want to talk to us about. Let's look at Luke chapter 19. In the book of Luke chapter 19, the Lord Jesus gave us a parable. And that's what I'm going to base my exhortation upon today. In this parable, from verse 12, the Lord said, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But the citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little thing, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then givest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? Now, you all know the story of these servants, which many times we talk about it as talent, don't hide your talent. But what I want to point out in this story is, The same thing, this man was trying to blame somebody for his poverty. Now, when we talk about poverty, I said there are some things that the Lord can give the Lord. Many ways, praise the Lord, we are sisters here just walking. Pastor Yato and Sister Ebon, praise the Lord for him and for her. It's nice to see your face. Now, we're talking about how to avoid the poverty line. How to avoid the poverty line. If the Lord give you, everybody, the same amount of money, and you have to trade with it. Some people will invest it and become rich. Some will invest it and become and get something out of it. But others may not do quite well. And this other guy was actually blaming somebody for his misery. That's why that is what he was really saying. He said, I know this is the boss now. That is the whose fault is it? It's my boss. He gave me only one pound. Many people, they blame their situation on their grandparents or their line. Or I was born in this abject poverty. That is why I couldn't make it. All of those are excuses in life. You all know that. We try to blame what we call it generational gap or generational curse. All of those things are examples of what maybe people might give as the reasons why they couldn't get out of the ghettos. But the Lord is saying there is a way out. And we are going to see some of the things that Solomon laid out for us. How to not go to the poverty line. Let's start from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. Proverbs chapter 6. Solomon was telling us, like I said, many things that can make people get out of the poverty line may be attitude, your way of life, your choices, and Solomon is going to just point some of those out for us. The causes of poverty. The causes of poverty. Now, you may say, well, everybody that is here, we can say we are not millionaires or multi-billionaires, but you have your need met. You have your need met. God promised that. But if somebody is not having his needs met because of that poverty line, he's in the poverty line, then he needs to shake some of these things that Solomon is talking about. Proverbs chapter 6, from verse 6, this is how Solomon put it, one of the causes of poverty. In verse 6, he said, go to the hand, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provided our meat in the summer and gathered our food in the harvest. Now what he's saying, telling us right there is attitude that can be called being sluggard. How long without sleep, O sluggard? When will thou arise out of thy sleep? Verse 10, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So he's saying that is one way poverty comes to people, being sluggard. Simply means this one is lazy. And so he said, poverty is like somebody that has been traveling. It will arrive in this man's house one day if the man is sluggard. See, why did Lord put this story, this scripture here? It's for us to know that, just like a brother said when we were discussing, he said, you have to do your own part. I think it was Brother Okpe that said that. God expects you to do your own part. In all these things, there are promises of God to get you out of trouble. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. Like I said, there are circumstances that can push people into the other side of poverty. Like I treated some of them, I said, somebody can suddenly lose all his capital. Somebody can suddenly get into disease and sickness that the doctors take all the money, hospitals take all the money, and all those type of things. But God promised he will be with you in trouble if you are with him. That is the power, the solution to that. If you are with him when things are going good, he will be with you in trouble when the trouble comes, if it is circumstantial. Even if it is caused by your mistakes, God still will be able to help you out if you are bold in talking to him. So remember that. But now Solomon is telling us this perspective. There is a different perspective. Sluggard. He said that poverty will arrive in his house. The next one, Proverbs chapter 24. From verse 30. The wisest man Solomon telling us how to keep ourselves away from the poverty line. There was a movie that I liked so much that this black guy did, where in that movie he went from a little bit a young man that has some few money trying to do some business and end up in the homeless shelter. Homeless shelter. And many people can get to that homeless shelter when they lost everything. Even there have been stories of somebody that was even a PhD owner that suddenly lost everything, end up in the homeless shelter. So in this country, that is possible. But if it is circumstantial, God, and you know God, God will deliver you from those troubles. We have already said that. But let it not be your choices or your mistakes or your sluggishness. All the things that Solomon is listing here, let that not be what push you into that corner. That is what we are pointing out here. In that Proverbs chapter 24, from verse 30, he gave us a different perspective. He said, I went by the field. So this man has a field. That's like business. The other one, he meant just say sluggard. We don't know what he was doing, that he called him lazy. But this one has a business, and he's giving us a different perspective. He said, I went to by the field of the vineyard of the man that he called void of understanding. Pastari. And Pastari once said, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. But Solomon said, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. It's learning from mistakes of others. And then you better learn from mistakes of other people. Even the Bible is full of mistakes of others that you can learn from. And what did Solomon say he learned from this story? He said he considered and looked upon it and received instruction. Verse 33 said, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. He's simply saying, but this man is a little bit different from the other one. This one has business. Only he's not putting enough effort in it. Not putting enough effort. A vineyard, you've got to pull the weeds. That's what he's telling you. You've got to build the wall so that it breaks down, but you better fix it real quick. Put some more effort. It's like marriage. People will tell you that to make your marriage work, because when we are talking of success, it's in everything of life, not just material. Even in your marriage, put some work at it, put some patience, some prayer, because that is pulling out the weeds. He said, I went to this man's field, it's all grown over with thorns. He said, I look at it and learn instruction. A little folding of the arms. See, the poverty will come like a traveling man into that man's house. So it's a different perspective. Any business you lay your hand upon, you've got to work at it. That's what that is telling us. Don't take it for granted. You've got to put some effort in everything. Think of schooling, going to school, because you may say, what is the reason why many people are poor? You may say, well, they couldn't get a good paying job. Well, you may say, well, if they have this kind of education, they might get that good paying job. Not so. That's one of the reasons how people get out of, why they say education is very good, education is going to lift you out of poverty. So you need to get a good paying job, you need education. I praise God for many of our brethren that came from Africa. They came to this country with one degree and they wanted to live in this Arizona. They saw the degree they had didn't have any prospects of getting a good job here. They went and changed profession. Some of them went into nursing because that's better. That they put some work at it and get a different degree. That is working it out. So that is what we are saying, that you need to put some effort in it. whether it is more a change of career just to get you what you want, God sees that, and God is going to support that effort because you are not being lazy. But if you are a student, especially you young people, listen closely. If you are a student and your parents are compelling you to do this, do your own work, you better do it and make sure you put effort in it, because of what Solomon is telling you here. To get success, you've got to put in all this effort they are telling you. I was in elementary school just on Friday giving a presentation to the fifth graders. Every year we have this what they call engineering week. And I've chosen the grade school that my daughters, all my children went to, that grade school that is close to my house. And from the time Sarah was in the fifth grade, I started that presentation. And every year I kept going to that same school. Fifth graders, they all gathered there. One day, and the last hour of the day, 2 to 3 p.m., and I showed them the type of engineering fields so that to make them to want to go into engineering. One thing I remember last Friday telling them as we are wrapping up, I told them that, hey, look at all this, your teachers. They put in all the time to teach you the ABCs, the 1 plus 1 is 2, algebra, arithmetic, all of those type of things. Don't take those things lightly. You want to be an engineer, you've got to learn those fundamental things. And I told them to clap for those teachers. That make the teachers happy, because each year I try to do that. Because those teachers, they could have gone out of, they don't want to be a teacher, they want to go and be lawyer and so on. But some people have to be teachers because they don't pay them well compared to the other colleagues that went into other fields. But they have to praise them. So I'm trying to tell those little kids also that put in effort, learn these things they are teaching you and do your own work. Because those are the efforts Solomon is saying. I saw in the field of a vine, it's a vineyard of somebody that should have put in more effort and they are not doing enough. The Lord can see your effort, whether you are lazy, God knows. You know, I always tell my kids something. I said, the Bible said, do all things as unto the Lord. Everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. Because it's from the Lord you are going to receive the reward of the inheritance. So now, if you are going to receive the reward from the Lord, God can see whether you are lazy. Not so. We say, well, gee, I try my best, I do enough, I'm trying my best in this homework. God can see whether you are doing your best or you are just playing games. The same way, if you are trying to do a business and you are putting in your effort, God is going to reward you, and he knows whether you are lazy or not. He can tell. So you can't deceive anybody. You can't see, my parents are coming, you started doing as if you are doing something, and then when they are gone, you are not doing your own work. Then you will be deceiving yourself. And the Lord that is to reward you already sees that. Even your parents may not know, the Lord that is going to reward you already sees that. So don't take those things lightly. Let's go on to the next verse. Proverbs chapter 23. No, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13. Go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13. That's another thing that can cause that. Solomon is just listing things that can make people go into the poverty line. In verse 13 of Proverbs, he said, love not sleep. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thy eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. So what is that telling us from the story, from these letters of Solomon? It's a time for everything. That's what he's telling you. There's a time to sleep. There's time to be alert and awake and do your job, do your work, and get busy and get something done. It's lest you come to poverty. These are all just principles of life. Principles of life that is going to keep you away from that poverty line, from that homeless shelter, so that you will be getting your needs met. Because like we said, God is going to provide all your need according to his riches in glory. But he put these scriptures in the Bible so that you may take heed to these words. Doing your own part, then God will do his own part. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. Are you with me so far? Yes. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 20. From the Lord, we are going to receive the reward if we do all things as unto the Lord. Now, In this, everything he has been telling us seems to be laziness, that this can be the cause of poverty. Laziness, sluggard, not doing enough. When you should be working, you are sleeping. He's saying this, that can be the cause of it. There's another thing that can cause poverty, and he's going to tell us in this next verse. Proverbs chapter 23, from verse 20. He said, be not among wine bibbers. Let me start from verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. So what is he telling us in that example? He said, don't be among wine bibbers. That is now lifestyle. We have talked about laziness. He's also talking about lifestyle, your choices in life. Wine bibbers, those drunkards, they go after they leave office, they go to what they call the bars and drink. And very soon they are going to be a drunkard. Very soon they are going to be fighting their wives at home, or wives fighting their husband at home. Very soon, that thing is draining their pocket. Along with this, not just drawing people, I heard this one, just drop that into my mouth, in my heart here. Casino gamblers. There are many people in America here, they leave office and they branch to the, what do you call these people? The Indian casinos, because it's almost everywhere now. And that is loss, of course. Very soon, they are slotting their money into those, and they think I'm going to hit that jackpot. You see, this is computer. I work in computer. I will know how to program this thing. You never hit that jackpot forever if you program it right. You will never hit it if you program it right. But they want some people to get it so that others can keep coming. They will give you some incentives to keep coming. I say, but it's slotting your money, just taking your money. The Lord just dropped that into my spirit. I never thought about that. It's not part of my list here. Don't be among them, just like the people that went to the bars, just like those people that went to the bars and drink alcohol. Many people in America, in the jail, will tell you how they all end up there. Alcohol will drive them down, because it destroys family. It destroys their life. Very soon they cannot keep their family together because of drunkenness. So that is one of the things that you want to get yourself. Keep yourself away from it. Solomon is telling you wisdom here. The drunkard and then the glutton. We mentioned that. It's a glutton. What is glutton? They are just overfeeding with meat. That's what it means to be gluttonous. So you cannot control your food appetite. Now, the wisdom the Lord gave in that drunkenness and gluttonous life is because those things are the most expensive and the least reward. Alcohol. You know how much they sell those, they call it a shot. A tiny little 100% alcohol, and they just because they want to get ice. That shot could be $100, I don't know. But it's the most expensive things, the little reward. Gluttonous life in the went back at home in Africa, we call them the taxi drivers and people like that. They will buy a little one penny worth of gari eba, but almost $100 worth of meat. That's the ratio. Why? Because they want to spend. They say, well, they have this money right now, they have to eat, and they spend a little money on carbohydrate and big money on the meat. And that's what's called gluttonous life. The least reward, most expensive. So then they are wasting money. So Solomon is saying that is not just the solution. I mean, the result of it is poverty. See, drunkenness shall bring them to poverty. Drowsiness shall clothe men with rags. And I pointed out in that sermon, earlier sermon, that the same with cigarette smoking. Praise the Lord. Cigarette smoking. Least benefit, if there's any benefit at all. You know how much they sell him right now? You can as well just get a $10 bill and wrap it put it in your mouth and light match on it. That's how much it costs. You're just, the smoke is what you are getting. It's not going to give anything. You are spending $10 each time you burn it. That is what is going to drag them to poverty. Now, I gave that testimony when I came to this country in 1981, and I was to go to ASU, and I went to the post office very close to ASU, and there was one homeless person. I don't know whether he was homeless, but he was a beggar. So he said, can you give me some change? And I was trying to give him some money. And people passed by and said, don't give him any money. I said, why? I went to the post office. The postmaster told me, don't give those guys money. He said, why? He said, you give them money, they run to go buy a cigarette. That's what they use the money for. They run to go buy cocaine, drugs. That's what they spend their money. They are not getting money for food. That was what the society saw. And they were even telling me not to give them money. I thought I was trying to help. So that if the society saw that, that was what was going on. They are spending their money in the wrong things. And that's what Solomon is saying when he talks about drunkenness and all those type of things, including cigarettes, including cocaine, and all those bad things that is draining their pocket and it's not giving them any benefit, or it's going to bring more disease into their life. So God is saying, be wise. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thy heart in the way of God. Don't be among the wine bibbers or among riotous eaters of flesh. Those are choices in life. So, what are we talking about? To keep yourself away from the poverty line, number one, don't be lazy. When you get a job, do it as if you are doing it for the Lord. He knows whether you are lazy. Number two, be careful of what you choose in life, your choices. Is it alcohol? Is it drunkenness or gluttonous life? What you eat? The third one is going to talk to us about is Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19. Now, this is a different perspective. We are talking about what can keep you away from the poverty line, or how people get there. If you go to the homeless shelter and just ask questions, what happened? How did you end up on this homelessness? Every one of them has a story to tell. Many of them have this kind of stories that we are listening out for us here. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19, what did Solomon say? Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have what? Poverty enough. What does that, what is he telling us in that? If you till your land, means you are working at your business, whatever your business. Tilling the land in this case is talking of the farmers. They wake up early in the morning, they go to the farm and they are plowing, getting it ready for harvesting. They are busy doing something. He said, we have plenty of bread. I mean, there will be success, there will be result. But he said, some people, if they follow vain persons, he said, they have poverty. Now, what are vain persons? That is telling you of wrong company, wrong friends. Hey, buddy, let's go to the bar. If you say, oh, gee, I'm busy, I don't have time for bar, then you are tilling your land. Amen? That is what he's telling you. If you follow vain persons, say you will have a poverty enough. Praise the Lord. So, that's another show. He's telling you, be careful of what you choose in life. Be careful of the friends, the company you play with, the company or your company of friends that you go out with. They can be a problem. But if you are busy, you have no time for some of those friends, some of those company. Amen? Yes. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 22. He said, he that hasteth to be rich has an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Now, what is he talking about in this example? Now, hasting to be rich, now he's talking about spiritual things, lust, the lust. And the Bible gave us Some of the things which you avoid in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, the epistle of John, the first epistle of John chapter 2, from verse 15. Because when he begins to talk about hasting to be rich, he's talking about the lust. Lust of the eyes is what Apostle John called it. So love not the world, rather the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So now, if you let that lust of the eyes or lust of the flesh be ruling your life, then you say you're going to end up in some bad situations. To avoid that, that's where you have to be born again. Let Jesus Christ change you from within. Take all the lust out of you first. So that you then, if you are not being controlled by desire for vainglory, I mean lusting after money. That is why some people have no time for God. They tell you, gee, I've got to get extra money. I've got to get 3 jobs. And I've got to, if that lust is controlling your life, you will not have the time for the solutions. The first solution is what? The fear of God. The first solution to get this wisdom, we're going to go to the solutions to avoid the poverty line, the fear of God. Have time for God. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's what Christ, that's what our Christ called it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is how the kingdom of God operates. The way of life of God is called righteousness. Then say all these things will be added to you. But if you are not getting the thing, you are not seeking the kingdom of God first, you are seeking those things that are hasting to be rich. That is the lust. It doesn't say you shouldn't go to work. It doesn't say you shouldn't, but you see, when the lust is controlling you, you have no time for every other thing that matters. The fear of God, the time for reading your Bible, the time for meditating in the Word of God, the time for doing God's business first so that God can do your business, can help you in your business. If you are not doing that part, then you'll be hasting to be rich and you'll be losing it all, because the one that is going to help you, God that will help you, is not going to be helping you. That is why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these other things shall be added unto you. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 8. Now we're going to go to the solutions to avoid this poverty line. Like I said, the first, actually, so Moses gave them the first solution, because everything he said was conditional. Let me quickly read that Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 5 to you, where Solomon gave the solution. The solution is very simple. If you diligently hearken, that is the solution to everything he was saying. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 5 is where he said, all these things, when he said God will bless you and you will do all this, you get all these things that he was talking about, only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. So everything precipitated on the fact that you are obeying the word of God, you are seeking first the kingdom of God, then God will be protecting you, delivering you from trouble. And if there's a circumstantial situation, God knows how to, he said, we will be with you in trouble. When the trouble comes, God will be with you to deliver you. But you must hearken to the word of the Lord, like he said. And some of the solutions, you see that, like we said in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 8, obeying instruction. Don't refuse instruction. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32 also. In every one of those Bible verses, it's all talking about wisdom, that you have to listen to the wisdom of God. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32. And I'm going to just give you some of the rest Bible verses. You can write them down and meditate on those Bible verses yourself. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32. Solomon asked for wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask God. He will give you wisdom in everything we are talking about. And how to manage your resources is another wisdom we need. Because God can give you a surplus suddenly. And we have seen that in life. In fact, the life, many times when God deals with humanity, he gives you a surplus because rainy day is coming. Rainy day is coming. But how do you manage your surplus? we determine what will happen in the rainy day. You know the story of Joseph in Egypt. God planted Joseph in Egypt because God knew that famine was coming. And when the 7 years of famine was about to come, there was first for 7 years of plenty. That was how God operates. He sent them a plentiful 7 years, and then he sent them a 7 years of famine. But Joseph was there to help them manage the plenty so that they didn't lose it all. That is wisdom, because most of the time, many people, when they get that surplus, they lose it. When I was talking many years ago, I said, suppose everybody is giving $1 million. Suddenly you have surplus, $1 million. Let's see what will happen in 5 years with your $1 million. How will you manage that $1 million? Do you know what $1 million is? How many of us are earning $100,000 a year? $100,000 a year, your salary. $100,000 a year. Now, that is what you call what? That's not your net pay. That is how much the total amount that the company is paying is $100,000 a year. How many years will you make on $1 million? 10 years. 10 years. Suppose they just give you that $10 million right now. And I say, you need to go to work. And let's see in 10 years where you still have that something left out of that $1 million. That is really, many people can manage that lump sum. Not too many people can manage that surplus. So it's better for them to get it $100,000 every year. Sometimes many people, that's the only way they can manage it. Because if you suddenly give you $1 million in your bank account, like, well, I don't need to go to work, let me see how I can manage this $1 million. You don't know where to invest it. Maybe let me try this investment. Let me try that investment. And you may lose it all. It has happened. There are many cases in this country. People make what you call this lottery. And they won $10 million lottery. And 10 years later, they were regretting that they wish they never got that lottery. It has happened. It's happening. Go and Google it when you get home. Google people that have made lottery wins. Multi-million dollars. I was reading them, they listed many of them, what is, they made it 10 years ago, some made it 15 years ago, some made it 5 years ago, what is the result now? Many of them are broke. Why? Because it's not easy for women to manage some lump sum, because suddenly they are not used to this big money, and that is what we are saying, it takes wisdom of God. Not just wisdom, it takes God to also help you. Many people thought Joseph in Egypt was so wise. It was not just Joseph, it was God behind Joseph. Amen. To store food for 14 years, it's not easy. But he stored food for 14, not just 7 years, 14 years. Because for 7 years, of the first batch has to be stored for 7 years. And then there's going to be 7 years, so you should be calculating for 14 years. Because when they started dishing this thing out, they have to dish out the first one first and so on. If they didn't, this has to last for 14 years. Or in fact, those food will have been eaten by ants, insects, and they will have lost it all. So you see, it takes wisdom and it takes God to be with you. So what are we saying? The solution is the fear of God, number one. The wisdom of God, number two. And seek God first. Then God is going to be with you. Even in the elementary things that, well, I don't have $1 million, the little I have, salary that you are taking every month, how are you managing it? I see going from paycheck to paycheck, there's nothing saved. How are you managing it? These are all the things God is talking about when he says he's going to bless you. If he blesses you and you blow it away, and he blesses you and you blow it away, you think about it. Very soon you are yourself trying to be a doctor, you are trying to help this man. The Lord Jesus Christ said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, keep my saying, keep my saying, that's the condition, he shall never see death. So that never see death thing, just think about what this world is full of. Our body grows old. That alone is progression to death. But he said, if you keep my saying, you shall never see that. He can come and turn things around. But if you have to keep turning things around in your inside and you mess it up again, not the natural one, you eat the wrong thing, You didn't sleep enough. Keep my sin. So there are all those sins that we have to walk. You are working with the Lord to keep that body. Never see it. If you say exercise, you have no time for that. Sleep long enough, you have no time for that. Eat the right kind of food, you have no time for that. Fast a little, you can't do that. If a man keep my saying, that's what he says, you shall never see death. So, for you to get this reward, you've got to keep his saying. And all his sayings is what we have to keep learning. Part of them is this wisdom. The wisdom to do the right thing at the right time. So, the Lord is saying, you have your part to play, keep my saying. Then he has his part to play. Amen? Let me give you some more Bible verses. You can write this down. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 13 talks about obeying instruction. Psalm 32 verse 8. Like we said, how can I get wealth? The Lord said he can lead you to get wealth. Actually, the Bible says it is the Lord that giveth us power to get wealth. But in Psalm 32 verse 8, he said he will lead you. He can lead you to be prosperous. He can lead you into what to invest in. But you must be able to hear him. He said, but I had a vision. I couldn't understand what it meant. Gee, what does that mean? That is why you need to move closer so that you can get it clearly. Also. So when he's saying he will lead us, it's all precipitated on the fact that we are doing all this other spiritual exercise that will make us be able to tune to him. Psalm 32 verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. He said, if a man keep my saying, he will never see that. He said, I will instruct thee and teach you in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. Now I give a warning in verse 9. Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, which whose mouth must be elding with bit and bristles. So he said, I will guide you. You want to be wealthy? You want to follow me? This is the path. That is the path. He said, but don't be like the horse, like the mule, that he has to put a jack in his mouth to jack him with pain, to turn him. Why? Because he's not listening. God is giving you a warning there. That's like somebody that can say, well, I just got this money right now. Wow, with this slump sum, I must visit that cocaine shop. Then you need, I must visit that prostitute. That's where you want to spend your money and get disease. Or I must try this marijuana. They say it's free now. See, you are, unless you put a guard in your, he's not going to put an angel in your way if you say that's how you're going to spend your money. Then you are violating his instruction. He said, I will guide you with my bed. Don't be like the mule, which have no understanding, that I have to jack them with pain for them to turn, to listen. Follow the precepts of the Lord, and it shall be blessing for you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let me give some more Bible verses before we wrap it up, because this is just words of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3 to 13 talks about strange women. Avoid strange women, because it will lead you toward disease. Not to talk of what you are going to get. Even if you say, well, yeah, I did this, I did it. No, you are violating the word of God. Not so. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Do everything as unto the Lord. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 to 12. Now, that's where I'm going to wrap it up. Everything we have talked about is what you must do, your own part. Don't be lazy, and don't choose wrong company. Don't make wrong choices in life. Alcohol, smoking, drugs, those are wrong choices in life that can lead you to danger. Then he gave us, for God to answer your prayers, forgive. That's the Mark chapter 11, verse 25, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 to 12. That as you live your life, you must live in forgiveness. Why? Because if you don't forgive, say, God will not be forgiving you. Because everything we want God to do for us is out of his mercy that he's even answering our prayers. So live for him by living in forgiveness, in love. Then you are completing the circle of being with God. Then God said, "We'll be with you even when trouble comes that is not yours, not your fault." You say, "Well, this is not my fault. This is, the world is like this. There is a market crash and everybody lost their money." God knows that's not your fault. But God said, "He will be with you in trouble." Let's stand up and pray. Stand up. Let's pray. Let's talk to the Lord. That's how I'm going to wrap it up. God said, "He will be with you in trouble when you have been with Him all along." There are stories in the Bible. God knows how to deliver us in the time of trouble. But we must seek first His kingdom. And all these things shall be added unto us. And then He will bless you. And like I said, talk to the Lord yourself. Just thank the Lord. Say, "Lord, help me in all this." And if you have been delving into things that is pushing you into the wrong direction, maybe choices, let's pray for you right now. If you want me to pray for you, step forward. You have been choosing some things that you need deliverance from it. Because when you talk about this thing, look like she. Or you can just change. Sometimes you cannot change. If Satan has taken hold, you need deliverance. If you have been addicted, smoking, cocaine, pornography, or womanizing, and you need deliverance because those things are going to lead you in the wrong direction. Maybe deliverance is what you need, we can pray for you. Or you have just been lazy. You have not been doing your own work. Your parents have to force you to do it. Maybe you need deliverance. I pray for people that say, "Well, gee, I just couldn't understand. I'm studying and studying. I'm still making a D or an F." Maybe the brain needs some spark from the Holy Ghost. We can pray for you right there. So come forward for that. Anybody? You want me to touch you to pray for you? I can pray for you right now. And the Lord Jesus said, He knows what you need. If you need deliverance, He knows. If you just need to brace yourself, you need that laziness to depart from you. The Lord knows that also. Because laziness is an habit. You got to quicken. But if it's a spirit, you need to be delivered. The Lord can deliver you. But others, pray for yourself. We want to pray for you right now. Come, I pray for you. That the Lord will help you. If you need some deliverances to be able to get rid of some of those things that have stuck to you, whatever it is, we want to pray for you. Anybody? Any of these young people that you know that you have problem with doing your own work? Is it laziness? Or you just couldn't comprehend it? You need some touch from the Holy Ghost. The Lord can deliver you. I pray for somebody in college like that. He said, "Gee, you've been doing and doing." And I said, "Well, let me pray for you and lay my hand on her head." And she, the education get better. And that's why I just said we could pray for people to set them free. Other than that, it is attitude. If it's not attitude and it's deliverance, God can touch you in that. But now take the steps to begin to do the next thing. Let's pray. Father, we pray for ourselves. Help us, Lord, to avoid that poverty line. When you give us surplus, give us wisdom. Not to waste it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not waste the surplus when you give it to us. Help us to have the wisdom of the Holy Ghost that we will walk, because the days ahead is going to be dangerous when there could be a crash. But how have you been managing your resources now before that crash comes? Sometimes it is the guiding of the Holy Ghost that we just need. Are you listening to the Holy Ghost when He's instructing you? Many years ago, Lord said, "Buy this." And I bought it. It was like, "Why did I buy it?" They said, "Sell it." And I sold it and I got surplus. We need to be able to hear from God when to invest, when not to invest, when to buy and when not to buy, so that we can say we are riding above the clouds. So that's why you need to be very close to the Lord in the days ahead. There could be a very serious crash of economic crisis. And when that occurs, how are you stock up like Joseph before the down comes? I want to pray for you. What is it?
Wisdom.
The Lord come by the Father, our brothers in his wisdom, increase his wisdom, Lord, just can guide him in the name of Jesus Christ. Guide him, Lord, in everything he needs to do. It is the wisdom from the Holy Ghost that he needs, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Holy Ghost, Lord, coming to him and giving that wisdom, the gift of wisdom, like you gave to Solomon. That God said, "I will not only give you wisdom, I will give you this result of wisdom, which is success." And give that brother, my brother here, Lord, success in that which you give to him, the wisdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Mama, what do you want Mama to do for you? Okay. I just can't stop complaining, but Mama, do you want to give yourself for me? Cherry, Nipa, oxygen, and that you exercise faith in him. And faith in him. Jesus Christ healed you before, and he has healed you, and he's able to keep you healed. And
The same way your daughter must believe alone, not forcing you back to the faith. Is what you need. Faith that Jesus has healed you. Okay. Father, I pray for our mama right now, Lord God. Give her wisdom and protect all her children that she is concerned about. And give them wisdom, Lord Jesus Christ, especially the grandchildren. Give them wisdom, Lord God, guidance. And those that are looking for husbands, give them wisdom, Lord God, and guidance, Lord God, how to conduct themselves in the name of Jesus Christ, so that they will get their desires met. Whatever the desire they have, Lord God, grant to them, Lord God, by giving them wisdom in handling life in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, pray.
Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Can the praise team come back now so that we can just do the get your offering ready? The praise team come over and then you can get your offering ready as they give the offering.